Welcome to the American Hospital Association Center for Healthcare Governance Thought Leadership Series. The series brings expert perspectives on critical and emerging governance issues to healthcare organization board members, executives, and physician leaders. The Thought Leadership Series is one of many center resources that provides the timely information healthcare leaders need to govern and guide complex hospitals and health systems through challenging times. This program is moderated by Mary Totten, Governance Consultant and Content Director at the Center.
Hello and welcome. I'm Mary Totten. In 2008, the Center and the Health Research and Educational Trust, with funding from Hospira, convened a Blue Ribbon Panel on Trustee Core Competencies. The panel included healthcare organization trustees, chief executives, governance researchers, consultants, and other governance experts. The panel had two objectives. The first was to identify core competencies for members of hospital and health system governing boards. The second was to recommend additional work that boards, educators, and researchers could do to help boards apply these competencies to governance practice. The panel's report was distributed to AHA member hospital CEOs and board chairs and also made more broadly available in February 2009. The Center interviewed Rick DeFilippi, chair of the panel, chair-elect of the American Hospital Association Board of Trustees, and a trustee of the Cambridge Health Alliance in Massachusetts, to discuss the panel's findings and recommendations for healthcare governance. Rick, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Mary.
Can you begin by talking a little bit about what competencies are and why they're important for healthcare trustees and boards?
The first thing I'd like to address, in fact, is the importance of them for boards today. I think one of the things that we're beginning to find, or there's increasing evidence, that there is a link between the performance of a board and the performance of the organization. That's one important link that I think is getting better and better established. The second link, of course, then, is the link between the quality of the individuals who are there and their competencies and the performance of that board. So to an increasing extent, we find researchers being able to pull those connections together, which of course then places so much more emphasis on our need to have very competent boards.
Why did the American Hospital Association decide to convene a panel focused on competencies, Rick?
I think we became aware, the AHA became aware of the need to, in fact, focus much more on governance and our boards of trustees as we look ahead to some of the challenges we're going to face in the reasonably near future. Certainly one of them is the challenge of healthcare reform and the impact that that is most likely going to have on the structures and organizations that we work with, the organizations we now call hospitals and hospital systems. I think we may begin to see unprecedented changes in the scope of the operations, the kinds of relationships we have with other organizations, be they parallel providers or, in fact, organizations that may have been our competitors in the past.
In light of all these forces, Rick, that are calling for greater board performance and accountability and the potential for perhaps competencies to improve performance, do most hospital and health system boards now use trustee competencies in their work, or is this something relatively new for healthcare boards?
You know, it's a mixed picture at this point, Mary. I think we have pointed out in the report, in fact, some wonderful examples of how hospitals or hospital systems have used competency. In fact, appended to the report is information around the Presbyterian Healthcare System in Albuquerque, New Mexico, which has done a terrific job of applying this approach, and there are others as well. If you were to look across the field as a whole, and I don't think we have a great deal of data about this, but I think we'd find a fairly wide disparity among hospitals in how much application there's been.
Well, if it's fairly new in healthcare, Rick, are competencies being used by boards in other sectors or industries?
They are. In fact, in the research that was done in this particular study, we found a great deal of information that showed that there is increasing intention, in fact, among boards of directors of investor-owned organizations to go in this direction.
Can you give a couple of examples of the competencies that the panel identified for hospital and system board members?
Yeah. We tried to break these down into two major categories. One set is related to the knowledge and skills that individuals need to have in order to do the job of being a hospital or healthcare organization trustee. And within those, to give you examples, the knowledge and skills that are related to the healthcare industry and the healthcare field itself. We really feel that trustees must come to learn how hospitals operate, how healthcare systems operate, what's the experience of a patient, what's it like to be a patient with an organization, what's it like to be a clinician with an organization, just coming more and more to understand that. So that's one major category. Part of that knowledge and skills group also, we feel, is the competencies surrounding knowledge of business and finance. And then a third one, and I think I would look at this as somewhat of a surprise, the panel felt very strongly about knowledge of human resources. But when we thought about the idea that 60 to 70% of our costs in hospitals are associated with compensation of our human resources, this really came to the fore. The second group was a more difficult group to get our arms around. We call these personal capabilities or personal competencies. We, after a significant amount of work, wonderful work by staff in pulling this together, isolated 14 different competencies. And in the report, we describe tasks that we would be able to see and behaviors would be able to see from individual board members who had these competencies. Examples are in the realm of accountability, for example, meaning that board members, and in contrast to what management might do when they possess these capabilities, board members should be taking steps to ensure there is a culture of accountability within the organization and be sure that the board is holding itself accountable for what its true responsibilities are over management, for example. Others in this category certainly include one interesting one is organizational awareness. We feel it's really important for board members to have the capability to learn perhaps some of the subtle details about how an organization works, perhaps even its politics, and then be aware of an organization's history as well and understand more fully why perhaps certain practices should or perhaps should not be present in those organizations. In addition, we talk about strategic orientation, for example, which may be an obvious one, but it's a sense that board members have of the long-term future of the organization and the import of decisions that are made on the long-term, and also the wide scope that they must be considering for decisions they make. What is the environment? What is the competitive environment? What is the nature of the healthcare population?
So it seems that the panel took a fairly comprehensive approach by identifying the two categories and 17 types of competencies, some knowledge and skills-based, some behavioral. What did the panel say, Rick, about how competencies should be reflected across a board's membership? In other words, is the goal to have every board member exhibit as many competencies as possible?
The goal would be to have as high a level of capability on the board, but certainly there is not, in my view, a necessity for every board member to get an A-plus rating in each one of these competencies. It's very important, I feel, for the board to have, among its membership, high levels of these competencies. But one of the important aspects, I think, of looking at relationship building as a competency, by the way, is for us to learn what our fellow board members can do and what they can't, and to understand how well we can rely on their judgment as the board as a whole moves towards decisions in certain arenas.
It seems that if building greater competence among all board members is a goal of some of the panel's work, how can boards begin to use competencies in their governance practices?
We address this very, very clearly. Certainly the trustee members of the panel were very interested in seeing what areas we felt that these could be applied to. And we came up with four very significant ones, we thought. First of all, to evaluate the board, we could take this list of competencies, do a fair assessment of what our individual board members can do now, and rank the board. The most important aspect of that, of course, is then to take the next step, and that is to educate and develop those capabilities within board members so that you can bring already almost uniformly in boards capable people who may not be performing up to standards we'd like. So certainly, number one, the assessment. Number two, the education and development. A third area certainly is in recruitment. We confront a lot of situations where we may have people with the knowledge and skills side that we're interested in, but we're just not sure whether, in fact, they'll perform on a board the way, according to the standards that we've developed. So by using and developing tools for recruitment, that's another way we'd like to take care of this. The other component of this is certainly identifying and isolating and developing further individuals who could be board leaders. Ultimately, we certainly like to draw our board chairs and board leadership from the best and most competent individuals we've got.
In terms of thinking about anything new or surprising that the panel might have discovered, you mentioned that there's sort of a variable level of application of competencies in board work and healthcare. Was there anything beyond that that might have been new or surprising to the panel as it pursued learning about and applying competencies?
We were not sure at all of the extent to which competencies are being used on boards today. I think we were pleasantly surprised by some of the examples that we saw where this had already been taken into account and boards were operating really effectively to do this, and we give some of those examples in the report. I think that was a very pleasant thing to be coming away with. Another I'd mention is, in the past, the practice has been on many boards to equate professional or work experience with competency. And what I thought we were able to do successfully, and perhaps I shouldn't label this as a surprise, it was one of our major goals, but I think we did an extremely good job of being able to separate competencies from that particular type of background, number one, and number two, to re-identify behavioral characteristics that we wanted to see coming out with each of those competencies. And in fact, as if you look at the report in the section describing the competencies, we've made an effort to characterize those competencies by certain types of behavior.
In terms of stepping back, Rick, and looking across the entire body of the panel's work, what were some of the panel's most significant findings and recommendations in your opinion?
Again, I think that our being able to establish this baseline or this fundamental platform, if you will, of competencies and reaching agreement in a fairly wide range of disciplines that were on the panel was a very significant finding and a very significant accomplishment of the group. After all, we brought together trustees, we brought together individuals who are the executives of trustee organizations, state organizations. We brought together one of the state hospital association execs, and then CEOs of hospital and healthcare organizations, plus some leading figures who are doing research, consulting, teaching in this field. So we had a very diverse group that was involved, and I think for us as a group to come together over this range of competencies and feel comfortable in settling in on them, I think was perhaps our most significant finding.
What are some of the next steps do you think boards should take to carry the panel's work further? What needs to be done to move it from more of a concept to the application?
Clearly now making the link between the competencies, which certainly are not abstract, but still simply represent capabilities that individuals should have and that we'd like to develop in people to have on the boards, making that link to tools that can be developed and used so that a board, be it the governance committee or the board chair, however this is done on any particular board, can use this and both for the purposes that we described earlier. One of them is for doing assessment and evaluation. Secondly, tools for recruitment. And a first draft of a recruitment tool, almost an interviewing process, is described in an appendix in the report. And it's an excellent first step, I think, that we've taken in tool development. So I think that group, that particular arena of for both recruiting and assessment, and finally, and perhaps most important, as a guide for developing curricula and other training tools for boards so that these competencies can be further brought out.
Are there any, in your view, Rick, further implications for research that might follow on from the panel's work?
Absolutely. And I think we've seen there is research that's been done which shows associative relationships between the quality of an organization's performance and the practices of its board. I don't believe we've yet established that there is a causal relationship involved here, and I think there's work to be done to demonstrate that indeed those causal relationships exist. I think it's gotten to the point where we know that external organizations, bond rating agencies, for example, are paying more and more attention to the quality of the board's performance. I think we'd like to get firmer links between the board competencies and then the board performance and then the organization's performance. And there's good research to do there.
Great. Thanks, Rick, for discussing the findings and recommendations of the Blue Ribbon Panel on Trustee Core Competencies with us today.
Thank you, Mary.
We hope you enjoyed this program from the Center for Healthcare Governance. The Center is a community of board members, executives, and thought leaders dedicated to advancing excellence, innovation, and accountability in healthcare governance. The Center offers new and seasoned board members, executive staff, and clinical leaders a host of resources designed to progressively build knowledge, skills, and competencies tailored to specific leadership roles, environments, and needs. For more information and to comment about this and other interviews in the Center for Healthcare Governance Thought Leadership Series, go to the Center's website at www.americangovernance.com.